So, I just wanted to share a little bit about some of the stuff that was going on in 2 Corinthians. As we all know, the pandemic has not been fun for anyone. And like everyone else, I feel like this past year I've really kind of been thrown through the mill quite a bit. I'll share really quickly just a few little bits. It kind of all seemed to pile up at once for me. I guess it was probably about March, April time last year, right as lockdown kind of happened. It was almost overnight. I found out that I was being put on furlough, and because of I had just had a job change, and so because of that, I was going to be down quite a bit financially. And then it was like 2 or 3 days later, I found out that my grandma unfortunately passed away from non-COVID related issues. And so I was kind of it was just like one thing after another thing. And I think with finding out that my grandma had passed away and then finding out that we were down quite a bit financially kind of put us in a bit of a pickle pretty quickly. And so what I had to do was I had to go and find any job that I could in the middle of a pandemic, which isn't the easiest of things to do. But fortunately, and you know, I'm thankful for God for it, even though I hated the job with a passion, was working at Dr. Oetker, the frozen pizza place over in Leyland, night shifts. So it was a really fun time. At that point, the nurseries and schools were closed, and Becky was still having to work, so I was kind of watching Avery during the day, trying to get a nap in whenever I could, and then going and working at a frozen pizza factory. And it was just, you know, I think we were 3 weeks in. I was running on like no sleep virtually. And we got Avery a place in a nursery, a temporary one. And it was the first time in probably about 2.5, 3 weeks that I was able to actually get some sleep. And I was laying there in bed, wide awake, just staring at the ceiling, thinking, please God, just let me fall asleep. Even if it's for an hour or two, let me sleep. And at first, I was just like, right, calm down, you know, going through all the things, doing breathing exercises, and nothing seemed to work. And the time just kept ticking and ticking and ticking until it was time to pick Avery up from nursery. And I had this moment, and it was a moment of weakness and a moment of frustration. I just said, God, you know, I've been praying this whole time that this would happen, that you would help me to sleep, and you didn't do it. Why do I bother? Why do I bother? And it was one of those, I threw my hands up in the air and just said, I'm done. And it was just kind of almost in that moment, you know, I said that, why do I bother? And it was almost as if he said to me verbally, because where else would you be without me? You know, what else do you have? Who else can you turn to? The reason why we bother is because his grace is in everything in us. And, you know, this bit of scripture was one of the things that really encouraged me. And if anybody in scripture had any opportunities or, you know, moments to throw his hands up and say, enough's enough, I'm done with all of this, will be Paul. I think we can all agree Paul went through it a lot. You know, persecution for him was huge. Look what it says later on in 2 Corinthians. Paul's saying, he says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. So not just one time he went through it, 5 times he had it. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I mean, after the first time, you're not getting on a ship again, are you? You know, but 2 more times he goes and does that. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Now, if there's anybody that can throw his hand up and say, like, why do I bother? Is Paul. I'm complaining that I'm working in a pizza factory doing night shifts, not sleeping very well. And Paul's doing this, and yet he still labors on. Now, the question has to be asked about Paul is that what is the thing that's keeping you going? Now, I mean, just to put it in perspective a little bit, you know, Paul, you know, being the Jew that he was and being the Pharisee that he was, you know, he probably had lots of friends. He probably had status. And then going into this new ministry, you know, Christ changing his life and running with it without ever looking back. You know, having these things must have been one heck of a toll on him physically. You know, I kind of asked the question, I wonder if people even recognized him whenever he went back home and things like that, because his body would have been absolutely beaten up, wouldn't it? 45 times, 40 lashes minus one, that's going to take one toll on your body. And we even see that in Corinthians here in verse 7. You know, we have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, Paul's reminding us that, you know, we are these jars of clay. You know, and we all know clay is very fragile and can break really easy. You drop it and it chips. You know, we are living as jars of clay with treasure of Christ built up in us, those of us who are in Christ. And it's, you know, we only have to just go to the gym once and wake up the next morning and feel that we are weak. You know, you feel the soreness and you feel the pain. But Paul's, you know, encouraging us that even though we might have this outer shell of weakness, we have this great treasure that's built up within us, which is way better. That the outer shell is almost insignificant, really. And we can see that through Paul's ministry and life, that the body is going to fail. That we are going to get to a point of weakness, where you're going to get a point of pain, where you're going to get to a point of despair and brokenness. But the treasure that is within us is that thing that continues to spur us on despite those moments and despite that weakness and that pain and all those kinds of things. And I have to say, you know, again, it's not apples to apples at all. I'm comparing to lack of sleep and working in a pizza factory to Paul's true persecution. But we are going to go through persecution in our lives, and we're seeing it more and more. Even in places that, you know, kind of historically wouldn't have been the case. I was speaking to a friend of mine in Canada where pastors are being arrested left, right, and center for trying to open up churches. They have SWAT teams stood outside with their machine guns blocking people from entering church. You know, persecution is real, and it's happening. And, it's happening in places like Canada. You know, you wouldn't, not something you would necessarily think of. But it's happening and it's real. And in those moments, that's whenever we're going to have to push in and let the grace of God cover us all the more. You know, it's encouraging that Paul says what he says in verses 10. You know, he says, we always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. It's such a... You know, we're carrying around in our bodies the death of Jesus, you know, the frailty that he even had. But we are carrying also, and we are, by living, by pushing through in those times of persecution, we are pushing, we are revealing in our body, in our weakness, Christ. Which is such a weird thing to think about, isn't it? Because our natural instinct is to pull back from pain. You know, even this morning, I was helping Becky button the back of her dress, and it had a pin on it, and it went right through my finger. And the thought didn't cross my mind, well, I'll keep going. You know, the thought was, whew, let's pull back again and reevaluate the situation. But we need to continue to push through. You know, it says in verse 11, For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. You know, we're going to, it doesn't matter if it's great persecution where you have, you know, you are imprisoned and beaten and killed for your faith, or even the little, you know, death by a thousand cuts of comments and things that people say in our daily lives. Because let's be honest, most of us probably won't ever go through major, major persecution. It may change pretty quickly, you know, with these new bills and things that are coming into place, but... You know, I don't think most of us are going to be arrested or beaten or killed for our faith here in England. But even those little comments, you know, the little things that maybe coworkers or other family members say, they can start to etch away at it, at us, can't they? And they can have those moments of doubt and fear and, you know, oh, maybe I won't talk to you about this anymore. I don't want that kind of confrontation to take place again. You know, I'm sure you guys get that often on the streets talking to people, you know, but, oh, that's stupid. And, you know, I don't believe in that. It's rubbish, whatever. The thing is, as we're pushing through, we are revealing Christ in us. And it's very similar to what Paul says in Philippians, which is one of my favorite verses, very short. It's to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, and again, and Paul is then troubled with this thought. He says, you know, to which I choose, I can't decide, because I long to be with Christ in heaven. You know, I long to go home and be with Him and be in that comfort and that place with Him. But it's more beneficial that I'm here. And I like that. I like the attitude behind it, because he's saying, you know, as much as I want this, and who doesn't like going home? You know, at the end of a work day, there's nothing better than just going home, putting your feet up, maybe grabbing a coffee. Home is the comfort place. And he's longing for that moment to where he can go home. And yet he's saying, but even though I want this with all that is in me, it's more beneficial if I'm here. And I like his attitude behind it. It's more beneficial for us. It's more beneficial for us as Christians to be in the workplace. It's more beneficial for us to, have those awkward conversations or to go out and to share because of the treasure that we carry within us. And in those moments of weakness, and in those moments whenever we are beaten down and are, you know, made fun of or things like that, and yet we still stand up again, the thing is that after a while, people have to ask the question, what is it? You know, what is it about you? What is it? What? There's something different, because I know I wouldn't be taking this. And yet, you know, coming back and back and back because of this treasure. And it's all simply due to the grace of God that we have this treasure to begin with. You know, it's not anything we've earned. It's not anything that we have been able to purchase. You know, it's not by our good deeds. It's simply through the blood of Christ that we have this grace that is given to us, this treasure that we can store within our frailty to have strength in the weak times. And the cool thing is with all of this is as we stand, God gets glorified. And John Piper has this really cool quote. It's probably one of his most famous ones, actually. He says, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in Him. And you know, if you think about that, as we stand up, as we, you know, realize that momentary pain is beneficial for us and for others, as we do those things, you know, it says in, you know, earlier on, in verse 8, you know, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You know, these are the graces of God in these situations. You know, we're not told that we're going to be plucked out of every bad situation. In fact, it's quite opposite, isn't it? And we can see later on in this scripture that why that's the case. But it's those graces in those valley times, whenever we're in our low points, whenever we're being persecuted, you know, hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, you know, not pushed to the point, perplexed, but not despair, persecuted, but not abandoned. You know, it's reading in Acts, and whenever we see that Paul actually goes to the church in Philippi, he gets arrested, and they're arrested, and they're in jail. And not only that, but the jailer thinks it's a good idea to torture them, put them in restraints that would be very painful and very restricting on movements. Usually it's a case to where, you know, whenever we think about the old stocks, you know, it's kind of that situation, isn't it? But apparently, historically, those kinds of stocks were ones where it would kind of contort the body, and it would be to where your muscles would be flexed weird, a lot of spasms and everything. The jailer does that to them. And then soon after it, what happens? They're singing psalms. You know, the jailer would probably been like, these guys are a bit weird. But the thing is as we stand up in those moments, the more glory Christ receives, the more joy he pours upon us to be able to carry on. And that's the cool thing of it. It's this big circle. The more we stand, the more glory he receives, the more joy he pours in for us to be able to stand again. And I love this next bit, verse 16. And if you do we have any writers and Bibles or underline? I know everyone has them on their phones these days, but even if you can, that word, therefore, is super important. So Paul has, just before that, Paul is talking, he quotes a psalm. Where are we? Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And then this is the next bit. And this is, similar to what Paul says of if I'm going to stay here, it's because it's more beneficial. All of this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. And that's the thing with, I think often with persecution in times whenever we're in despair and trouble, whenever we're pressing into God and saying, yes, I'm going through the mill, but you know what? Still, Christ is greater. Christ is bigger, and I'm going to still be joyful, and I'm still going to praise him despite these things. That rubs off on other people. They're going to see that and be able to go, oh man, there's something different because I'm going through it and I don't feel any of that. And yet you're going through it, and yet you're still able to smile. You're still able to be joyful. What is going on? Why are you this way? And we can say, well, it's simply by the grace of God that I'm this way. Simply by the grace of God that he's given me joy despite these moments. And even with the having to work at a pizza factory and having to go through week after week of no sleep, is that, kind of looking back, I can see, I found out, it was like, let's say, I don't remember exactly what day it was, but let's say on a Monday, I found out I was going to be furloughed and that we were going to be down financially. Tuesday, I got offered the job. Wednesday, I was at induction. There was no gap in anything. The paychecks came through at the right exact time. It was simply by the grace of God that that happened. And yet I'm complaining that I don't have enough sleep. But, it's until sometimes, and it's one of these things, whenever we're in the valley moments, sometimes we can easily just go, I'm in the valley. But the thing is about valleys, and this is one of the things I think is kind of cool, is that, we live in Ribble Valley. I know we're not there now. But the Ribble Valley is, just as it said, a valley. And it's beautiful. You look around and you see Pendle Hill around us. And even though the valley is down low and maybe be in the shadow, we're surrounded by the beauty that's within it. And even in moments of turmoil, there's still beauty around us within it. Christ reveals things to us. And sometimes we need to just change our perspective a bit of how we're viewing things in order to see those things. So verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweigh them all. And is that not the most encouraging thing we can have in this moment of turmoil and trouble and persecution? Is that for the light and momentary troubles, so we know that they will end, are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. That we have this thing, we just feel like we can't press on anymore. We are absolutely spent. We are in pain. We are suffering. And all of that is nothing in comparison. You know, but like I said, it's changing the perspective a little bit. You know, we pick Avery up from school. How was your day? I fell. And she falls all the time. In fact, if you look at her knees today, they're all bloodied up from all these scrapes and falls and things that little kids do. But we've actually had to have her stop telling us about all of her falls because, you know, we don't get anything else out of her, what she did in the day. It's like, you know, they could have, I mean, the other day they went to one of the local churches and were doing all this stuff, and they went out and found these different flowers for one of their assignments in class, and they got to play with this, and a new car was delivered to school for the kids to play in, all those kinds of things. And Avery, how was your day? I fell. You know, is that all you can think about, is that you fell? And is that all that you can talk about, is that you fell? And, you know, then Becky will ring, how was their day? Oh, yeah, she had a really good time. They did this and this. And then she can hear from the other side of the house, Mommy, I fell. But the thing is that if we're just looking at our falls, you know, we're not going to be able to see the grace that God has given us in order to pick us up despite it. You know, if we look at just our failings, it's easy. I mean, we could write list after list after list. Matthew used an example the other week of that, you know, if all of our thoughts and everything were on this wall and we were able to see, it would be quite embarrassing. We wouldn't want other people to see it. And yet God knows our failings and still died for our place. You know, God knows our failings. God knows our shortfalls. God knows our sins, our deepest, darkest secrets, things that nobody else wants anyone else to know. And yet he said, I'll take that. I'll have that. I'll have him. I'll have her. And pours in us this grace that we're able to carry on despite these things. And then verse 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. That's easy, isn't it? It's easy to look at the world and see all the trouble and the things that are going on and get, I mean, man, you just have to go on the news for 5 minutes and just go. That's all you could do these days, I think. You go on the news and just do the head shake. And just, you know, look at it and see all the stuff that's going on. And all the bad that's in this world and all of those things, and it's so easy to just get caught up in those. But focus on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is seen is going to stop at one point. Everyone that is doing all this evil in this world, they are going to bow before Jesus one day and proclaim him as Lord. You know, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So forget about those. You know, pray into them. I'm not saying just throw it all to the wind. But, you know, focus on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, our frailty in these bodies is easy to be seen. But the treasure that's built inside of us is the thing that needs to be pouring out. And it should outweigh, you know, it should be seen 10 times more than our frailty and our broken state. It's so easy to focus on the bad things. And brush off the good stuff that happens. But really, even if we were in the absolute worst state ever, you know, if we were in, you know, you just let your imagination run wild of your absolute worst state ever, that we can still go back to that treasure. And you know, we can have nothing in this world and have Christ in it and be more than enough. You know, all of our situations, God's with us in them. All of the things going wrong, Christ is in us, with us, going through it with us. You know, he was tempted in every way. He knows how it feels. He knows what we're going through. And he's able to just keep encouraging and keep building us up and keep pushing us to stand up once again in order to carry us through.